broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Because he's more of an entertainer, and he's a happy, rich man.
It's like the thing. I'm not the only one that does it.
I figured if I'm going to be a journalist.
It contains valerian root extract.
Well, I hope you knew to use a condom.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they shan't. They can't. They won't. Truth is our bitch here every night. 818. What is our number, man? I got two different numbers. It's blowing my mind.
You know, people take a drinking game.
Remind me to talk about the drinking game now, the new Phil Hendry drinking game. 877-876-PHIL. I don't think it's a new drink. It's one guy on Twitter. Carrie Campbell gives her 8-year-old Botox to compete in a beauty pageant, and now she loses custody of the kid. And joining us to talk about that this hour is Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Parent Teacher Organization. The woman gave her daughter Botox, that is, injecting Botox into this child's face. And we're going to be talking with Bobby Dooley about this momentarily here on the show. 877-876-7445. If you don't have a backstage pass to the Phil Hendry Show website, then you're just letting the best part of the day pass you by, brother, because what we have is not only the largest archive of any radio show anywhere, it happens to be an archive of our show, probably one of the single greatest radio shows in the history of man on this planet. So in other words, you get like 13, 14 years of archive material. You get the daily podcast of our show. You get our classic podcasts, which are free, by the way. You get our news feed, our news blog. You get our comments section. You get all kinds of archived video. We have our five-day video archive. We have daily streaming video casts of the show, Phil TV, in high definition on your computer screen. And you can stream us mobile, too, either with your iPhone or your Droid. I mean, there just isn't any reason not to get a backstage pass to philhendryshow.com. You know, you never know when you're going to lose the good things in life, so you better hurry up and get a hold of it now. It's philhendryshow.com. Botox mom loses custody of 8-year-old daughter. That is the story here. A San Francisco mother has lost custody of her 8-year-old daughter after she injected the girl with Botox in preparation for beauty pageants that this child was going to be in. She was trying to treat wrinkles on an 8-year-old child. A person with knowledge of the situation, as they say in the news business, which generally means some former friend, told ABC News that the girl, Brittany, is doing well, but did not offer more detail on the ongoing investigation into the girl's mother, Carrie Campbell. In an interview on ABC News with Laura Logan, Carrie Campbell defends giving Botox to her 8-year-old because everyone else is doing it in the beauty pageant world.
It's pretty much like the thing. I'm not the only one that does it. A lot of moms do it. And I think a lot of the kids making the big impression on the lines on her face and stuff like made her, probably influenced her to want to do it a little bit more.
You're saying Brittany asked you for Botox?
We talked about it. She didn't exactly ask me about it, but I know that she was complaining about her face, having wrinkles and things like that.
Carrie Campbell says she personally injects her daughter with a Botox she acquires from a trusted source.
Like I said, I do the Botox myself. It's safe. I have no problem with doing it.
But you're 34. I mean, it's just, I'm just wondering.
I've been doing it for a long time.
You administer it because you're an esthetician.
Part-time.
Where do you get the Botox?
I'd rather not. Like, put that out there.
God,
I do have a
trusted
source where I get it. He is behind the doctor scene and everything.
Uh-huh. This woman's not very bright because the things she's saying there are highly suspect and she doesn't even know it. Well, I'm not going to tell you because 8-year-old Brittany talks about the procedure. Here's the little girl talking about it.
I do it, but it hurts sometimes, but I get used to it.
A little bit of it.
And what do you do it for?
I don't know.
Well, do you do it because you see wrinkles? Or?
Oh, yeah. I see, like, wrinkles, and it just, like, I just, like, don't, like, think wrinkles are nice for a little girl. It hurts.
Oh, God.
And I get used to it, and...
Do you cry?
A little.
Bobby Dooley is from the Western Estates Parent Teacher Organization. What do you think of this?
Well, so, you know, get the guys to turn the TV down a bit. What I think of it, Phil, and your reaction, I think we need to talk about this a little bit, because I don't think that people listening to your broadcast right now are going to understand what this really is about and the challenges that women and these children go through. We are crying out for all of these victims that we have been saddled. And when I say we, Phil, I don't have a daughter, but I've got a niece, and my sister is very much involved in trying to correct a lot of these mistakes.
Well, what do you mean by correct these mistakes?
Well, the question here really is not, should we be using Botox or not? The question is, when you're a mother and you look at your daughter, what are you dealing with? What do you have to work on? Where do you begin in shaping this child into a young lady? There are some of us, and I underline some of us. I don't know why I didn't have daughters. I am, you know, fortunate in that I've got three spectacular-looking sons. I mean, any one of my sons could be a model. My sister, my niece, got a lot more of my mother's looks, I think, than either my sister or I did. And as a result, my niece is a young lady that we are challenged by. And that's when you begin to think of these solutions to what is a genetic challenge. I married a very handsome man. My sister did as well. But, of course...
Now, hold on. What do you mean by a genetic challenge? Do you have sympathy? I want to get this out clear and straight. Do you have sympathy for this woman that we just heard?
I do have sympathy for her, but not in the way that you're thinking. I think you have to understand something, Phil. I think we've heard one side of this. We need to hear the other side. I have sympathy for all of the victims of the genetic challenges that have visited themselves upon people for many, many years. The little girl, her mother, this is all part of a tragedy that goes back, my God, thousands, millions of years.
And what tragedy is that? The fact that we're not good-looking?
The fact, Phil, that the fact that we are genetically challenged from generation to generation, and yes, we have to do something about it. Otherwise, we live with the frustration of a destroyed relationship with a father who might have been there a little bit more for us.
Well, I don't know what you're getting into some stuff here now that is a little esoteric.
No, I'm talking to you about the Botox. That's what you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, but Senator, I told her about it.
Yes, I want to talk about the Botox. What are you talking about, a relationship with a father?
I am talking about a mother, this woman, Carrie Campbell. Is that the woman did he want me to...
No.
Yeah, Ms. Dooley, you can talk to me.
I'm trying to find out from my husband. Is that why you called?
Yes, ma'am. We want to talk to you about the Botox story. The woman she has now lost custody. What do you think of that?
I think it is a tragedy.
You don't think she should have lost custody?
No, I do not. I'm taken aback. I thought you and your staff there understood what we are challenged by, what we're up against.
And when you say we, are you talking about mothers like Carrie Campbell?
I identify with all mothers that are trying to courageously tackle and do something about these genetic challenges, yes. And my understanding was I was coming on a radio program that supported that. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Ms. Dooley, I have to, completely honest with you, no, I don't support the injection of Botox into an 8-year-old child's body, no matter what the reason, unless it is a curative, unless it's medically required, unless it is a pediatric doctor that has assessed a problem. But for cosmetic reasons?
Then he doesn't understand.
No, I thought he didn't understand.
All right, let me start at the beginning with you then, Phil.
All right, well, you could start at the beginning, but I think I do understand.
No, you don't understand why we do this. We have been victimized by the genetic challenge of having a daughter that looks nothing like either ourselves or our husbands. In that case, when you put a child like that into a pageant and you are really looking at a challenge now, because you've got a, you have a child that is not what we would call attractive. You have a very plain-looking child. You begin to think of options, and the first option, of course, if you've got a child that has that, what we call that crone, you know, that sort of premature, what did you call that?
Sluggo's crone disease.
Steve calls it Sluggo's crone.
What is that?
That is a child with an aging face. And so that's when you need the Botox.
Yes, but why would you, I'm not connecting with you. Why would you put Botox into a child's face? Sluggo's crone, that just threw me for a loop. Why would you put Botox into a child's face, even if the child has wrinkles?
Because of the genetic challenge that child's face represents. If the child is not dealt with in terms...
Because the child is not good looking.
Because the child is not pageant worthy, and if the child is not pageant worthy, then you're not winning any pageants, Phil. And the problems and the mistakes and really the pain of the past that you're trying to deal with never gets dealt with.
And what pain of the past is that?
The pain of the past.
Sir, if you don't understand, I mean, my wife.
I thought he explained all of this.
No, nobody explained anything to me, Ms. Dooley. I'm not here. I don't know why you do what you do.
When you're a young lady and you are rejected by your father, as I was by my father, as my sister was by our father, then you look to make it up to him. How do you do that? You do it with your own daughter. And you do it by getting her to win a beauty pageant, the beauty pageant that I never won. Do you understand? Do you understand? Because that's, if you don't
I understand the psychological dynamic you're talking about.
No, but do you understand, therefore, the necessity for a Botox injection into a child's face that isn't good, the face isn't making it? It could be Sluggo Crone. It could be just plain view. But the face ain't getting it. And so you have to do something.
You don't have to do anything. You cannot put that child in a beauty pageant. But you're saying by not putting the child in a beauty pageant and...
Mr. Henry, I am watching your video cast. I don't like you pointing your finger.
I apologize, although I'm not. I'm just pointing it in the air.
It looks as if you're pointing it at me.
I apologize. But what you're saying is... You need to put this child into a beauty pageant because the child needs to win a beauty pageant because you never won a beauty pageant. And because you never won a beauty pageant, your father rejected you.
That is the psychological dynamic, yes. And so in order to heal that, we must address the face and the beauty form of the child. And if your daughter has a face that ain't getting it,
and what does it mean, ain't getting it? What is that?
It ain't making it.
Okay.
Then you do have to go to these solutions.
All right, 877-876-7445, Bobby Dooley, Steve Dooley, on why Botox at beauty pageants for 8-year-old children may be necessary. Because that child needs to be competitive and even win in that beauty pageant in order for the mother... to realize some psychological healing having to do with her youth. Nonetheless, Ms. Dooley is with us talking about the fact that some children are saddled with what she calls the genetic problem or the genetic challenge of not having the most beautiful face in the world. So you do need to inject Botox. Otherwise, Mr. Dooley said whatever that...
He said I ain't making it. He misspoke.
Her face ain't making it.
Right.
877-876-7445. Well, I don't even know. I can't even imagine any woman that puts a child into a beauty pageant that would agree with what she just said. 877-876-7445. Bobby Dooley, Steve Dooley, Botox injections for 8-year-olds is necessary. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
You know, I just noticed our Phil TV in HD, we have a camera angle that sort of shoots the our studio from the side, but I always seem to have there our coffee, Bud, from Starbucks.
Yeah, that's the green.
And the green sleeve always is being blasted out by the green screen, but today we have just regular sleeves on our Starbucks coffee, so in any event, it's no big deal. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley joining us. Pardon me, guys, for making light a little bit here, because what we're talking about, I think, is deadly serious. And Ms. Dooley, I want to give you every opportunity here. Obviously, I don't agree with you to say that 8-year-old children being injected with Botox is somehow the addressing of a genetic challenge that is necessary for the healing of an adult. And that's the part that, more than anything else, I don't get.
It is a cyclical thing.
Mr. Henry, it's still generation.
Now, Mr. Dooley, I'd like to speak to your wife, please, just, you know, one-on-one, because I can barely hear you.
Still, it is a cyclical thing, and as Steve did say, it is generation to generation. If you marry a handsome man, if you marry into what you felt were good genes, and your daughter is born, and you've got work to do. You've got work to do.
Yeah, she's not making it.
That's the line that I don't like. Her face ain't making it.
We're speaking in terms of the beauty pageant. And
well, I don't know what kind of language that is, but to put Botox into that child's face that, quote, ain't making it, is to don't you think that that's exposing that child to a medical procedure that's best left, first of all, to a doctor, and secondly, until they're 18? 877-876-7445. David in Fresno, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I just wanted to say that my wife and I have had the special privilege of raising 5 daughters, aging from 29 to 13. None of them have ever won a beauty contest, but all of them are beautiful in our point of view. Would never think of harming any of them sticking something in their face like that. I just want to say, dear, I think we need to send a straitjacket after you and your husband, and that's all I got to say about it. That you're totally ridiculous. Bye.
Well, oh, okay. Well, I'll comment. I guess he doesn't have the courage to talk to a woman, does he?
No, I think the gentleman has got 5 daughters, and that's all he wanted to say.
Well, I think that that is the attitude, Phil, of a man who has 5 daughters that probably, and I say this with a great deal of respect.
Well, don't start knocking the man's daughter's looks. What are you going to say, they couldn't make it in a beauty pageant?
Well, I think that that stands to reason. I think that's why he said what he said. Because out of five for five.
5 for 5 is not good, because they're not making it.
5 for 5 in the beauty pageant world is a disaster. It is a disaster.
And what does 5 for 5 mean?
It means you have 5 daughters and not a one of them.
Not one of them can get up to that level.
Well, this lady is got 1 daughter, and she's having to put Botox into that child's face. 877-876-7445. Dan, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
You know, I think this is just child abuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you're putting your kids through things that they should never go through for no reason, so that you can feel better about yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's my point.
Absolutely.
Well, what do you mean that's your point?
My point was that you're putting the child through this so that she can win a beauty pageant, so that you can feel better about some rejection that your father, that you experienced at the hands of your father.
We are trying to break the cycle, Phil. If I can get my child, my niece, not my daughter, if I can get her face to the point where it is pageant, it's at the pageant level, she wins.
She doesn't experience
the rejection.
Does that make you love her less? If your daughter does not win a pageant, does that make you love her less?
It makes her father. It gives an issue with the father. That's what I'm talking about.
You just heard that man say, not this gentleman, the other gentleman, 5 daughters.
Well, that's all very courageous of him to say on a talk radio program. I would love to see in action whether those daughters get their father's love or whether he's rejected them all.
No, wait, for not being quality.
Hold on. You hold the line, sir. Hold on, in Akron. Hold on, and we'll be right back here. 877-876-7445. Pageant quality.
I said it was 5 for 5.
All right, we'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-BILL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show. These stories, I think they probably grab most people the way they grab me and you. When we hear of these beauty pageants for children, probably this stuff became so distasteful following the JonBenet Ramsey tragedy.
You know, I want to comment on that, Phil, because I think we have been given such a bad name because of the JonBenet Ramsey situation.
Well, Ms. Dooley, I'm, just talking to my audience here. I'm just regular folks. I don't know anything about this world of pageants. I don't particularly like what I see. I'm not, running around asking for laws to ban it. I'm not that kind of an activist jackass. But I will tell you, when it comes to children, I think we all should be a little bit more vigilant. The sacrosanct world of parents, it's very, very important. You know, we are radio for patriots by patriots, but when you're sticking needles into a kid's face, and for the reasons that you give...
We talk about genetic challenge. We talk about generational mutation. We talk about the love of the father. We talk about whether the face makes it or not. Is it pageant face? We talk about Village of the Damned Eyes. We talk about these things because we are trying to educate people. And
now, you're talking about Village of the Damned Eyes. Tell me, you have a list here. We got Dan, who's been hanging on, and I want to get Dan back up on the line. He hung on through the break. Dan, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I want to ask Bobby here. Now, you have a list of things that, and I think this is pretty outrageous.
Well, Phil, if you're going to gang up on me with the caller...
I just want you to give this list of things that you find this is not optimum in the child pageant world. You mentioned Brooke Shields' hair.
It's too thick. You can't have that kind of wild, bushy hair. The chin dimple.
The chin dimple is bad.
Yes, it is. In the world of the pageant, yes, it is. For children, yes, it looks masculine. The clown cheeks.
What are clown cheeks?
When these are children.
A child has too much color in the cheek, not from makeup, but just natural color. It's good
these
to know
children.
The child is healthy. Yes,
these
I understand
kids.
They're children. I know that better than you, sir.
If you're going to have
I have three sons.
For kids, it should be childlike.
You look like... I have no idea what your wife looks like if you're married. I don't know what your child looks like. So I don't think you've ever had to suffer the way I have. I'm a woman. My father rejected me. I didn't win beauty pageants.
Well, you know what?
See, this is all about you and your father rejecting you, and
exactly.
You didn't win beauty pageants. So now you got to get your daughter, or your niece in this case, into a beauty pageant.
Yes, and if she wins, she does not run the risk that I ran and that my sister ran. She keeps the love of her father, and we break the cycle.
Maybe somebody ought to have a talk with that father. Maybe somebody ought to have a talk with your father.
That would be nice, Phil. He's been dead 5 years.
What an ass.
I did not know your father was dead.
Well, now you do.
Now you do, Mr. Henry.
He died of a heart attack in a parking garage. There wasn't anyone there.
I apologize, Ms. Dooley. I truly do. I truly do. I'm sorry. I did not know.
He died of a heart attack in a...
Fell in a parking garage, Mr. Ender. His body was there all night.
All right. I'm sorry. I didn't know.
I never could win a beauty...
Ms. Dooley, are you hearing yourself, though? Are you...
Excuse me. I'm... My father. You heard what I said about my father.
I heard what you said about your father dying of a heart attack. I am very, very sorry. I'm sorry that he died in such a terrible way, in a lonely way. I mean, the man was in a parking garage. I understand that. How old was he?
My father was 75.
75. I mean, that's, you know, these days, that's young.
Oh, yeah, right.
Now, don't make small talk, Mr. Henry.
These days, well, at least the nice weather we're having, isn't it?
Ms. Dooley,
No, you're making, these days, yep.
Yeah. What are we, on the farm? Yep.
Yeah, it's like you're talking on the farm. Yep, these days, you don't just die. Those days, forget it.
You know, I'm having a hard time believing you give a damn about your niece when you're screaming about your father and the way that he died in a parking garage at the age of 75 and you didn't get his love. That's what it's about. It's about you. It's about your sister. It's about all these grown-up women that have their daughters in these beauty pageants because they didn't get the love of their fathers, and they want their daughters to win beauty pageants so that somehow they're vindicated. Isn't that true?
Mr. Henry, I am not...
Isn't that true?
I'm not on trial.
Mr. Henry, these are things that are very personal.
Well, then Ms. Dooley's the one that brought it up, not me. 877-876-7445. Here is Craig in Mississippi. Craig, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I just can't understand why can't they love their children for who they are.
I do love my niece very much. I love my son very much.
But you're not accepting them for who they are, for their appearance. Are you considering the scarring that will happen to them because of all this Botox and makeup you're doing on them, what that does to them?
That's not going to scar them. The Botox will make their faces, it evens their faces out, it levels them out.
They have a more symmetrical.
We're talking emotionally.
Right.
Not physically, emotionally, because you're not accepting them for who they are. I have two daughters, and they are the most beautiful girls in the whole wide world. And you know what? They don't have to go win a pageant for me to know that. They're
right.
Beautiful because they are mine.
In other words, they're not that good looking. The way you said that. Just the way you said
mother,
that.
My mother's gorgeous to me.
No,
it's
but
sad
the way
that
you said that to you, that means they really aren't.
Because you know
it
what?
Doesn't
it
make
doesn't
it,
matter
what difference does it make?
It doesn't
no,
matter
I'm
what you
saying.
Think, ma'am.
Is that what you're
my mother's
saying?
Beautiful, my daughters are beautiful, and there's no contest in my mind, in my heart.
How about
heart.
Margaret Thatcher? How about Margaret Thatcher?
What about Margaret Thatcher?
Where did she come from?
I want to know what your level of beauty is. What is your standard?
He loves his daughters because his daughters are beautiful to him because he loves them. The eyes of
exactly.
love.
Exactly.
In other words, they don't have pageant face.
Yeah, are they symmetrical?
That is so superficial that your love is based upon an appearance.
No, my love, you don't understand. I love my niece. We're talking about winning a pageant. Do you understand?
If you love them,
genetically challenged.
Don't touch
yeah.
them. If you love
if
them,
love
come up and say, this is my child, this is my niece,
she's
who I'm
butt
proud
chin.
Of.
Oh, you don't get butt chin, do you?
Yeah, the butt chin, sir, is...
Butt chin is what, the dimple in the chin?
Yeah. There's no way you're going to win a pageant with a, you know, excuse me for making a joke out of it, but there's no way you win a pageant if you've got a chin like an ass.
Right.
Okay, and so she doesn't win the pageant, and therefore your sister, the mother of that child, doesn't feel vindicated, and so she still has unresolved feelings about your father, the two of you, and the grandfather of this little girl. And the little girl couldn't give a hoot and a holler.
She still has, we still have Steve's, we have my mother and Steve's parents.
Well, no, but I'm talking about the relationship that you and your sister never had with your father.
Right.
And thank you for belching.
I'm sorry, Phil. I had the TGIF fajitas.
The adults are the ones that need help
mm-hmm.
in this family, not the child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is not a slam.
Mm-hmm.
This is not an insult.
Mm-hmm.
But
no kidding.
Jews and the adults need the help, not the child.
Jews? You just said Jews.
The child, I'm sure, is beautiful if you'll just accept her.
She's
you're
beautiful,
making, you're
but
compounding
she's not symmetrical.
And making
I'm trying. I'm trying to tell you she's beautiful, but she is off.
Her face ain't making it.
You know, when you say that about a little girl's face, man, somebody ought to smack your face, Mr. Dooley. I'm sorry. A little girl is a pretty little princess, and that's it, you know?
Exactly.
You gonna smack my face?
I would punch your lights out, man, if you said that in front of me. I've had about enough, but all I can take is listening to you people talking about children as if they got faces made of Play-Doh, and you can push a chin in here and pull a face out there and do whatever you want to do with a child's face so that you feel better, so that you win the, she wins the pageant, so your relationship with your father is vindicated. Bizarre. Thank you for your call, sir. 877-876-7445. Let's go over here now to Christine. Hi, Christine. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Nice speech.
I'm good, thank you. I wasn't given a speech.
No, that was a speech.
No, it was not a speech. It was my honest feeling.
Good speech, Mr. Henry.
Well, if I may inject here, I don't think you're really breaking the cycle. Mm-hmm. I think you're continuing this cycle by not accepting the child and let her be who she is and look what way she does and love her anyway. And the other thing is that these issues are more about y'all issues rather than the child, like Phil said.
What do you mean y'all?
You know, it's
I didn't hear.
Hold on. Will you let the lady finish?
She said y'all. I don't know what you mean y'all.
Your issues, you and your husband and your sister.
Y'all are the ones with the issue that needs to be resolved. That's the only way you'll break the cycle. You're not going to break the cycle like this. This is not the way to break the cycle.
Look, it's a genetic.
This is all superficial. You'd like to put a Band-Aid on it, you know?
Well, look, first of all, I love her. She's my niece. My sister's name is Christine, by the way. And so I feel like I can talk to you about this. My niece, Megan, is beautiful to me. But her
have you ever been in psychotherapy or any kind of therapy for yourself?
Have I had what kind of therapy?
Any kind of therapy for yourself?
What kind of therapy? Physical therapy? When I blew my knee out when we were playing tennis?
No, I'm talking about therapy with a therapist that you talk things out with.
Oh, my God.
No? You've never done that?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. How dare you?
She's asking about going to psychotherapy. What's the big deal?
Oh, my God. Do you think I'm insane? Is that it?
Everybody goes to some kind of therapy.
No, I don't think you're insane. I think you've got some problems.
I'm insane? Do you think I'm insane? That's my question.
No. Nobody thinks you're insane. People go to head shrinkers.
You are. Have I been to a psychiatrist?
Not everybody's crazy to go.
Have I been to a psychiatrist? Is that what you're asking?
Have you been to any kind of counselor?
Oh my God.
Do you think she's Sybil?
Why is that such an odd question?
Why do you think she's Sybil?
Nobody says she's Sybil.
You think it's the Three Faces of Eve? Do you think I belong in the snake pit? Do you think I belong in Shock Corridor? Do you think I'm that woman from Shock Corridor? Do you remember that movie? The nymphomaniac that attacked Peter Breck? You don't remember
that? I have
that.
No idea what you're talking about.
There was the movie Shock Corridor based on a true story. A newspaper writer.
Oh, will you get out of here with Shock Corridor?
I don't want to get into that kind of stuff.
I'm simply saying.
Look,
that's not that important.
Christine, what Christine's saying is very important here. Your issues with your father are deserving of being discussed with a psychologist.
When I can solve those problems by giving myself something and my sister something that we never had, which is a pure pageant win, blue ribbon.
Blue ribbon win, Mr. Henry.
A blue ribbon. That's the gold medal.
I'm going to pray for you
Oh, my God. You're praying for me, which is the same thing as saying. You know what that means? That's the same thing as saying, excuse my language, it's the same thing as saying F you. It's the same thing as saying F you.
What is?
Saying I'm going to pray for you.
No, it isn't. And Christine, you're very sweet. Thank you for your call. 877-876-7445. That lady was being, I think, very nice to you.
She said I needed a psychiatrist, Mr. Henry. Now, if you ever saw a straitjacket with Joan Crawford...
Oh, come on, will you? Nobody is saying that you need to go into the snake pit or bedlam or shock corridor. No one is saying that you're some nymphomaniac crawling all over Peter Breck. Wow. Wow. Have you ever been to a therapist? Oh, what do you think? This is bedlam? The snake pit? We'll be back here on the Phil Henry Show. It's unbelievable. And if we weren't talking about a child, a little 8-year-old girl having her face injected with Botox, which is just disgusting, it would be a lot funnier than it is. 877-876-7445. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
I do it, but...
You wrinkles? Or...
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to play the thing.
I see, like, wrinkles and,
God.
It just, like...
I don't know.
I just, like, don't, like...
That is the little, that's the little 8-year-old girl, though, that we're talking about. That's the child who says, well, I don't like wrinkles. What child could actually make that kind of a call? What child could make a decision like that, Ms. Dooley? You're defending the use of this Botox for children, and I'm wondering, how does any mother, any responsible mother, let the child make the call?
So I don't think, unless you're in the world of, there's a lot of pressure on those children. They want to do their best. They know that if they win the pageant, that their mothers and their grandfathers are able to reconcile.
And you're telling me that a kid knows that?
I think instinctively, yes. I really do. You know, Phil, it's interesting you talking about me and my perception, agreeing with that caller that perhaps I needed therapy. I heard you say during the break, talking to Mr. Rance, that in the film Mommy Dearest, the daughter was played by Diane Lane, not Diana Skarwitz. Diane Lane, at the time, would have been about 60 with a big, fat rear end.
Boy, that's what, Mr. Rance. We need a psychiatrist?
I got the name wrong.
And we need a psychiatrist, Doc.
And I need a psychiatrist?
That's not needing a psychiatrist. That's getting the name wrong on an actress. It was Skarwitz. 877-876-7445. Here is Mary. Hi, Mary. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Hi, Mary. I'm sorry. Hi to both of you. I just have a question.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. Respectfully to you, why do you feel like every single child has to be a pageant winner?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know that every single child can be a pageant winner. Obviously, they can't. Should every single child be in a pageant? I think there is a case to be made for that, because when you look at, Mary, your relationship with your father, and...
I don't know what this has to do with any pageant.
Excuse me, I'm talking to Mary. Are you there, Mary?
Yes.
I think that when you and I look at the relationships we had with our fathers, we need to repair those. The best way to do it is to win a beauty pageant. We didn't, did we? You didn't, I didn't. But we do have a chance with our daughters or our nieces.
Why do you feel like that's the best way to rebuild that relationship? Why can't my father be proud of me because I'm a good citizen, because I'm a foster parent, because I take in stray animals, because I'm a, you know, there's so many, because I volunteer at the homeless shelter, because I am a dentist, because I mean, there's so many. I don't understand why that is the only way
it would,
feel
it would
like.
Be great. It would be great if he did, but he doesn't. He doesn't respect you for those things, just as my father doesn't. So what else is left to us?
Why do you think, though, that my father does respect me for what I do, and I'm not 6 foot tall, and I don't have long blonde hair, and I don't have blue eyes, and I'm not a model, and I'm not winning pageants, but you know what? I sleep at night knowing that my father loves me.
Okay, all the things you just said there, you're not 6 feet tall, you don't have blue eyes, you don't win pageants, well then, obviously, you've got a problem with him.
Why?
What?
Because of all the things she just said. Didn't you just say that you're not...
She's just said that her father doesn't care whether she's 6 feet tall or blonde.
My father accepts me as a child who was created in the image of God. I mean, I don't know. When God creates something, I don't know that we need to, like, mess with it superficially.
I don't either. I don't either. I just wish that our fathers loved us more so that we don't have to put our children through this, so that the genetic... So the genetic problem can be solved with a capital G and a capital P. The genetic problem.
What genetic problem is that?
The kid's face isn't making it.
We can't be cookie cutter people. We cannot be cookie cutter people. Not everyone can be, you know, with no wrinkles and no dimple in their chin. And
But we can try. We can try. And
no,
so
we don't have to try.
Why would we want to try? Why would we all
so we don't frighten, so we don't scare people. So that we
so
get
we
the love of our father
people?
And we don't scare people. Yes, we don't care. No, you got bigger problems.
Phil,
you have bigger problems than that.
Shut up.
No, you shut up.
You shut up.
Shores of El Pacifico. Bill Hendry.
Well, you wonder, you scratch your head and say, why is the president throwing a bone to conservatives who scream?
Thursday, they are ordinary Americans who have led extraordinary lives.
Things are bad.
I hate sex toys.
And it's pretty gay.
World famous Phil Hendry show here. Boy, have we got action. We got action on the air, off the air. If you watch our video feed, you're watching a reality show. I'm telling you, if you watch the video feed of our show, you're not missing. If you don't have the video feed of our show, you're missing like three quarters of the show, it seems like, tonight. Ordinarily, you're watching, you know, if you're watching our video feed, you're getting the whole package. But tonight, it's saying be a guy or I can switch. We got people for a hangout, and Maria's calling me on one of the lines, and Jason's trying to call the other line, and we are in the middle of hell. All right, anyway, but we got it all figured out. You got to get the video feed of this. Can you turn that gay stuff off, please, bud? I don't like that as bumper music anyway. 877-876-PHIL is our number, and this is the only news, talk, and entertainment show on the planet Earth that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we turn it all upside down, man, every night. And you can give us a call, as I mentioned, 877-876-PHIL. Go to our website, philhendryshow.com. Watch the live streaming video audio of the show every single night. You can hear the audio download the next day. You can download it to your iPod the next day. You can also see the video archives, a five-day video archive. We have archives of this radio show going back now some 13, 14 years. We've got material even going back further than that. Our website has been called one of the funniest on the web by PC Magazine. It's the Phil Hendry Show website. Do it today. And we got our friend Ted Bell is going to be joining us tonight from Ted's.
Ted, Beverly Hills, Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey, everybody, Ted here. Ted to Beverly Hills sponsoring this portion of the Phil Hendry program. And I've got a little food for thought, if you'll pardon the pun, for you and Phil tonight.
Here at Ted's,
food for thought.
Do you want to put our meat in your mouth?
I like that, Ted.
I think that's interesting, food for thought. And that's, of course, what we give you here on this segment of the Phil Hendry program, sponsored by Ted to Beverly Hills. And tonight, I really have, if you don't mind, Phil.
Go ahead.
Because I heard the lady that you had on, Ms. Gray, talking about her. She's a little out there, isn't she?
What are you going to do? Margaret's an artist, you know.
All right. Story here, most people can't talk on a cell phone and drive safely. Now, we've had this cell phone, can you drive safely, cell phone, can you not drive safely, cell phone? And we've heard this, and we have said, uh-huh, we've nodded our heads, and they've passed laws, and we have dutifully gone along with the Obama administration and this slow stripping away of our rights as citizens.
You're not going to hang that on Obama. I mean, that's been something.
But, Bill, I don't want to get into an argument. You and I, we're just opposed. When it comes to Obama, you and I are on opposite sides of the street.
No, I understand that, but are you really honestly hanging the cell phone thing on Obama?
All I know is this. I'm a businessman, and we've got millions of business people across this country. I am, thank God, you know, knock wood, I'm a successful businessman. But I'm telling you, this guy in the White House is making it harder and harder to do business. And if you're a businessman like me, and I know there's millions of them listening to me right now, you are going from one end of the town to the next every single day trying to make a deal, trying to make a purchase, trying to make a sale, trying to put this idea together with another idea. You're doing everything you can to keep this country from caving in. Now, one of the things when you're doing that is you're driving, and again, knock wood, I'm a successful man. I've got a great automobile. It is a high-performance vehicle. I love this car. It's a Mercedes. It is a McLaren Mercedes.
Boy, that's a gorgeous automobile.
It's 750 horsepower. How does that feel? Huh? You like that?
750 horse, huh?
That's right.
V8.
Everything. And the reason why I have that car, Phil, is, as you know, the Beverly Hills Automobile Association, which is a collection of guys that have HPV vehicles, who are successful business people, who are going from one end of this city to the next every day, trying to, regenerate the economy. Now, I do that, and I do business on the cell phone as I'm doing that. It so happens, Phil, that I know how to operate a motor vehicle, a high-performance vehicle, in traffic, and hold a cell phone. I know how to do it all at the same time. I can't begin to tell you the time that is wasted, the energy that's wasted, fumbling with a headset or a Bluetooth or fumbling around with cords, and I find it insulting, on top of everything else, that someone says to me, and you... You know, Phil, I'm Ted Bell. I've had this steakhouse here for, we're going on 30 years now.
I understand.
You understand. You understand it. Like you're saying, like I just told you, I have cancer. And
no, I know. I'm listening to you, Ted. Yes, you have owned the restaurant for almost 30 years, yes.
Yeah, and before that, my father. I'm Ted Bell. So you come up to me and you tell me I've got to do what? I've got to drive hands-free. I've got to use a phone that's hands-free. I don't do that. I don't need to do that. Now, I'm not asking for an exemption for every American. I'm asking for an exemption for a handful of business people in this country who are successful men who have under their employ many thousands of people who are doing business in all four corners of their city every day. They need to be able to get around. They need to be able to whip that phone out, turn it on, and use it while they're driving.
Well, you're talking about driving, though, with one hand, and that's exactly what the law in many, many states, if not all states now, I don't know, that's exactly what the law is trying to avoid, driving with one hand.
I understand that, and for most people, I understand that. For most people, I think that is absolutely essential, if I could just go and say that. But for me, all right, I'm Ted Bell, and you know, there's another guy, his name may be Joe Smith, he's Joe Smith. I don't need that. I have a high-performance vehicle. It is a car that 750 horsepower. What do you tell me how that feels? Tell me how that does that sit with you? 750 horse.
It's a lot of horse. It's a lot of horsepower. Yeah, for a beautiful car.
Well, the point that I'm making is that's going to get me where I want to go fast. I don't have time to fumble around with a Bluetooth. Everyone knows they sound horrible. You can't understand a word anyone's saying. I've got business I've got to do, and the business that I've got is the same business that business people across this country have, saving this country from Obama.
All right, well, Ted, what you've managed to do here, if you don't mind me saying, you have managed to take the cell phone issue and turn it into an Obama issue.
No, I'm not doing any such thing.
Well, that's what you're saying. You're saying that that you are racing around town trying to get business done so the economy doesn't slip further and further into the toilet, and that means you cannot use the... I don't understand why you can't use a hands-free cell phone.
I don't need to say to you, well, here's what. I'm saying to you simply this. I'm Ted Bell. I own a prominent business. I make a lot of money. I employ a lot of people. I don't want to use the hands-free cell phone. I want to use a cell phone that I can hold.
And that means you're driving with one hand.
Yes, and I'm driving with one hand because I know what I'm doing. I've got a high-performance Mercedes McLaren. You know, Burlwood, you're talking to me like you don't understand what I'm saying.
I understand that you are a car, you love automobiles, and God knows, Ted, you've had some beautiful ones, and I get it. And the Mercedes McLaren is a gorgeous automobile. I am not quite understanding how you can control a car better in traffic.
Look, are you asking me, if I've got a car like that with 750 horse at the wheel, and I don't know how to control that? I don't buy a car like that. I'm Ted Bell. I don't know how many times I got...
I understand you're Ted. Are you telling me, therefore, you know how to handle an automobile better because you're rich?
No, it's not because I'm rich. Because, I've had the money to buy cars like that, so I can maneuver through traffic. I've got to get from my restaurant, Phil, to give an example. I've got to get from my restaurant to the L.A. Athletic Club downtown. I am maneuvering through traffic down Wilshire Boulevard. I am slipping in and slipping out of different lanes of traffic. I'm moving, and when people see me go by, they understand that that's a businessman. He's got to get where he's going. And when they see me go by not using a hands-free cell phone but holding onto the cell phone with one hand and the wheel with the other, they are saying, there goes a man who, thank God, exists because he employs people. Back out of my way. And what's happening here is Obama's getting in my way. Getting in my way.
Obama's getting in your way by making you use a cell phone that's hands-free?
No, but that's all part of the same package. Obama is getting, I got things to do and places to go and people to see, and there he is. Every time I turn around, there's Obama. Every time I look in my rearview mirror, there's Obama. When I look in a side mirror, there's Obama. When I pick up a phone and I got to use it hands-free, there's Obama. And all I'm trying to do, along with a great many other men and women of this country, is to get this country on its feet again.
All right, Ted Bell with us here on the Phil Henry Show, and we'll take a break, Ted.
Sure. I want to know what the people think out there, because I think people should obviously use hands-free cell phone. But in my case is what I'm talking about.
You're in your case and in the case of a lot of other businessmen.
Absolutely.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills talking about, for him and for a handful of successful businessmen who are trying to get business done, they need to be able to get in their car, pick up their phone, use it while they're driving with one hand. Because, you know, they got business to attend to save this country from Obama, as he put it. Your thoughts, 877-876-PHIL. Should a handful of business people with high-performance vehicles and successful businesses be allowed to use cell phones by holding it with the hand and driving with the other hand? 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
What the fuck is forever, man? What are you doing?
Phil, like the series.
God.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Beverly Hills. I think there's a lot of people may not understand what it is I'm saying. Come on down, let's have a Ted. I'll tell you why I need to use that cell phone. I'm in traffic. I'm trying to help you. I'm Ted Bell.
We wanna put our meat in your
buried?
Mouth.
Hold on for a minute, Ted. You know, we're on the air, so when you asked me, did that get buried?
When I said I'm Ted Bell, I think it got buried.
When you said Ted Bell, no, it did not.
Well, I think I'm Ted Bell. Got buried by the commercial. I wanted to say that.
All right. Ted Bell joins us from Ted's of Beverly Hills, sponsoring this segment of the program. We're talking about your need, Ted, and you feel the need of a select few. How many businessmen are we talking about?
Well, across the country, I think we've probably got a cadre of a couple of thousand men who really do a lot of business. And the business that they do keeps millions employed. And if you're telling that guy, okay, when you get into your car and you're going over to a business meeting, you have to put on a headset and look like, forgive me, Phil, but look like one of these you know, the people that drool when they have them in a psychiatric drool. I don't know the term.
You talk about schizophrenic?
Yeah, schizophrenic. You know, when you look like you're talking to yourself and a guy walks up to you in the corner, like happened to me a couple of years ago. I was waiting for Marcy and my son and Josh. We were going to go to that, go to a movie, and the guy walks up to me and says, oh, you poor, you know, blankety blank blank blank. I mean, he used MS. And I said, what do you, he thought I was a schizophrenic. I can't do that. I can't do it. And there are a lot of businessmen that can't do that.
Everybody else has got to use a cell phone that's hands-free.
Oh, Phil, but stop with the oh, poor me, all right?
No, it's not oh, poor me, but you, Ted Bell, you can use one with one hand because you're on your way to big business deals.
You know, it's frustrating to talk to a guy who doesn't really get the universe that I operate in, and it's not that...
Oh, yeah, I get it, Ted.
No, I'm not being all holier and mightier than thou, but I'm trying to tell you, I'm trying, along with a lot of other guys, to save this country from this guy Obama, who's sticking a knife right through it. He's putting a knife in it, turning it, and breaking it off, and then having a laugh.
I couldn't disagree more. 877-876-PHIL. Is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go down here to Jermaine in Mobile, Alabama. Jermaine, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. I would like to make a comment on the Mr. Bell, what Mr. Bell
yes.
said.
Ted Bell here. Yeah, Ted Bell here.
First, we know who you are. We done heard you three times.
Well,
Well,
you wanted to know.
You make this. This comment that all business, successful business people, should have a cell phone and should be exempt. You're missing some things.
You didn't say the whole thought.
You haven't heard what I say.
When you drive
with one hand, you got to be aware of other people around you. That's just like if you're getting in the car behind and you get behind the wheel, you're drunk. When you get out there and you're drunk, you're not aware of the people that are around you because that alcohol has messed up your sense of judgment. So you cannot say that all business people successful business people should have the right to have a cell phone. If you're going to do business, you need to do it before you get in the car.
I drive a Mercedes McLaren. I got 750 horse at the wheel.
I heard that.
We know about that, Ted.
Yeah, but that,
you can have a horse and buggy. You can have a horse
and buggy. I'm able to operate that. Let me ask you a question, Jermaine. What's a flambé? You know what a flambé is?
What's a flambé?
You know, yes. What is that?
That's something you eat, some food.
Well, you know,
I just heard your wife say
it's somebody is set on fire, and it isn't.
Wait a minute. His wife, I heard the lady,
wife.
She said...
I'm not married.
She said...
Thank you.
I'm not married. Your boyfriend? Well, is that a man, or what is that?
No, this is my cousin. It's my cousin.
You're dating your cousin.
You,
wow.
He didn't say that, did he?
Listen, Ted, Mr. Bell of Beverly Hills.
No, but your cousin said.
Do you remember the news?
The flambé is a guy you set on fire.
Do you remember the news when the locomotive engineer was texting? You remember all those people he killed?
What?
Think about that.
Think about all the family members.
It was the guy in Glendale who was texting.
Oh, that guy. I'm not talking about driving a train. I'm talking about driving a Mercedes McLaren with
boiled
wood.
Because you on the highway, you're going to kill people just as this guy killed people on the train.
Ted, I think the question needs to be answered here. This gentleman is saying what a lot of people say. What makes you a better driver than these other people?
What makes me a better driver is simply this. I have experience using the power steering. I can drive 750 horse with one finger, okay, and use my phone.
Oh,
I can whip in and out of traffic with one finger. What happened to him? Did his cousin just all of a sudden get friendly? Are you all right?
No, you saying something.
I heard you go, oh, like that, like somebody speaking of a finger.
Go ahead, Jermaine.
Listen, you're not getting the point. It's like every time you come on here, you're saying something, and you're not getting the point. You're putting your foot in your mouth.
No, I'm not. I just told you. I'm trying to save this country.
Yeah, we heard that, Ted.
No. Hold on. One man cannot save this country. The only person
I am trying to help this country
is the Lord God. Remember that.
The Lord God. Who?
The Lord God is.
He said the Lord God.
It's the only person
the Lord
that can save this company. This
he said the Lord Snoop Dogg.
Not Ted Bell. Not me. Not Mr. Henry.
Well,
not President Obama.
And not the Lord Snoop Dogg, which is what you just said.
He said the Lord God.
I said God.
Well,
where's my mouth? Okay.
Well, it sounded that way to me.
Like that.
Now, I'm not talking about God. You said the Lord Snoop Dogg.
No, he didn't. Now,
no,
Ted,
I did not say Lord
again,
Snoop
Dogg.
I said that one. Well, I thought you said the Lord Snoop or something. The one
no,
finger. All
Lord
I'm saying is,
God.
Gora, what is that? Something out of Ghostbusters?
Wait a minute.
I
the Lord God.
The,
all right. Now,
I said God.
G-O-D. I understand.
G-O-D.
If I'm driving a car with one finger, do you think I'm a good driver? Yes.
No. I don't care how much experience. No.
Are you insane?
I don't care how much experience you had. You cannot drive no car with no one finger. Come on, man.
Well, I've done it.
You got
exactly
the experience
right.
to drive a car with one finger.
I am able to drive a car with one. You know what? I stand before the Lord Goa. I don't even know.
Hold on. 877-876-PHIL.
What happened?
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Well, I got a Ted's of Beverly Hills. We have got some of the most delicious prime rib all day roasted. And, of course, we got that porterhouse for two, $85.
Here at Ted's.
We're in Beverly Hills.
You want to put our meat in your mouth.
Ted's of Beverly Hills in Beverly Hills, and Ted Bell joining us. A couple of questions as we talk to Ted here about the economy and about the hands-free law on cell phones. You're saying there's a handful of businessmen in this country who should be allowed to drive while holding onto a cell phone because they are doing business.
Well, you know, if people don't understand the concept that a business, look at in California, in Washington, D.C., in New York, they all have laws outlawing handheld phones while driving. Take a look at the economy. Where is the economy centrally located in this country other than, you know, in your hometown? It's in Washington. It's in New York. It's out here in California. This is where the business gets done. And
we got a lot of people saying that you could get into a very serious accident driving with one hand, 750 horse, you know.
You know what, though? I don't live my life on what maybe is going to happen, what could be, should be, maybe, you know. I live my life on what deal I'm going to close. How many people am I going to keep employed today? What deal can I do? What business can I do? Is my tie on straight? Are my teeth brushed? Is my breath good? You know, you walk in, and I learned this because my father went down this way. You walk in with Gordon's gin on your breath, and you breathe that into one of these, and I'll say this with all due respect because I do a lot of business with these, you know, the ones Japanese, okay?
Yeah.
You walk in and breathe some of that Gordon's gin on one of them, and they give you that so, and it's over.
Boy, are we getting a little racist here?
I beg your pardon. I do a lot of business with Japanese business people. They are some of my best friends.
Well, what's with the so?
I'm telling you. You breathe some of that Gordon's gin on them because what they expect, if you're going to be drinking at all, they want the smell of rice wine.
Sake.
Just forget about calling it sake because it's an insult when you try to pronounce a Japanese word. Do they just want you to call it what you'd use, rice wine?
877-876-PHIL. Ted Bell talking about driving without a hands-free cell phone. He is Ted Bell. He and several other businessmen do a lot of business. Here's Julie in Knoxville, Tennessee. Julie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
What was that comment supposed to mean?
What?
He and a bunch of other guys do business.
Well, you sound, Ted, like you're entitled.
I'm not entitled.
I've got a caller on the line here. Go ahead, Julie.
So everybody's entitled that it owns a business to take and talk on a cell phone without a hands-free.
No, not everybody. No.
That's what you're
saying.
Only
those of us.
Okay.
Those of us who employ a lot of people and who are responsible for a great deal of money flowing through this economy, I got to get from L.A. all the way down to the L.A. Athletic Club. You got to go from L.A. where?
I drive all over the United States.
I deliver freight
for the United States.
I'm making deals. I'm making multi-million dollar deals.
Yeah, I do too.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
I make the kind of deal that keeps you employed. I make the kind of deal that decides whether you've got anything to take from one state to the next. That's what I do.
I have to call and tell
you
that was a dispatcher. So, you don't.
And the other thing is, how come you guys get to drive with one hand?
How do they get to drive with one hand?
You got the CB microphone, and you hold the microphone with one hand. Don't you hold the microphone with one hand? Yes, you do.
What microphone are you talking about?
They don't have CBs anymore.
They don't have CBs anymore.
I can't hear what you're saying, Phil, because, that's the lady talking. So you don't have a CB in your truck?
I don't have a CB. No, sir.
Well, that proves you're not doing the kind of business I do. I'm in communication constantly with people. Now, out there driving a truck, that when you see a Mercedes McLaren come by, you know the guy that's driving that is a guy that's got money, don't you?
Yeah,
don't you?
If he's driving fast, he's not taking care of his equipment. He's also, excuse my French, an idiot.
Taking care of his equipment.
If you want to drive your vehicle, you drive it with pride. You don't sit there.
Absolutely,
drive
it with pride.
Traffic.
Because
you don't sit there in and out of traffic with one hand glued to.
Julie, if I got to get across town so that Julie has another load of moo cow creamers to deliver between restaurants, then that's what I got to do. Otherwise, you don't have a shipment and you don't work that week.
Well, what does that mean, moo cow creamers?
Well, whatever it is she's calling. It's moccasins, I don't know.
Well, what are you going to put? What she does?
She's putting down my job. I'm telling you, I got to go across town driving with one finger.
You got to go across.
Call this one finger.
You're going across town. You're talking on a cell phone.
That's exactly right.
People, why do you have to be around across town?
Because I'm going to a meeting. Are you serious? Why do you got to travel from one state to the next in your truck? You got business to do. You got places to go, and you got people to see. And Julie, I'm Ted Bell. Tell you what you do. I got one for Julie. Where's the bell?
What?
Where's the bell? Don't we ring a bell when I get a free? I'm giving you a free steak dinner. I want you to come out to California the next time you haul your moo cow creamers out here. And I'm just kidding about that. I don't know what it is. Free steak dinner on me, Ted to Beverly Hills. Your name's Julie. Yeah, it's Julie. All right. I think she passed out. She was so happy.
Maybe you have to get back to that gym so you could take and be and not be the person that takes care of the boot camp.
You know what she just said? Maybe I need to get back to gym so I can take beef. That, to me, is crude.
No, Julie, thank you so much for your call. That lady is a trucker. She is working to hauling freight and other things across the country.
Yeah, right. She's hauling freight, and she keeps making fun of me. I'm the guy that keeps that truck loaded. I'm the guy that slides that meat into the back. Well, I can't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Elizabeth, listening to us in Detroit tonight. Hello, Elizabeth. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
I can't believe what I'm hearing from you. How long have you been on this job?
I happen to be the owner of a steakhouse, Ted's Beverly, on the job.
Yeah,
I'm not asking you about your Mercedes.
I could give a grab ass about your Mercedes. Here's the thing.
You are driving
on busy highways. There are all kinds of people passing you up. And you're telling them that they may not be as good on that cell phone as you are. And you're
That's
telling
right.
them, well, I see him not doing what he's supposed to do on that cell phone. Why should I obey any law? And you're
telling
people. I don't
know the answer to that.
You know what? You never did tell me how long you've been working this job. I'm calling it a
Elizabeth,
job because you're saying you're trying to keep people
I'm the
working.
I am the owner of a restaurant.
Number one,
and if I've got to kill somebody to get...
Stop interrupting. You know what you're asking people to say?
Wouldn't you sacrifice your life for the success of my business and other people?
What does that mean?
You are not doing what you're breaking the law and you're teaching other people around you to do the same thing. That's very wrong. Another thing is, if you can't, what did you do before cell phones? That's why I'm asking you how long you've been doing this kind of work.
I had a mobile phone in my car, a radio telephone that only wealthy people had. That's what I'm trying to say.
You know, nobody cares about that. They're caring about
the antenna.
Doing the right thing.
Remember the antenna? Do you remember the antenna on the top of some cars?
Look,
that was me.
Don't use your cell phone. Go back to what you were using before. And by the way, how did you ever get
on this radio station? That happens to what I was using before was a radio telephone with the antenna on the top of the car
Why don't you go back to it?
It's more expensive. Easier just to have the phone.
I'll tell you something else. This is the first time I've...
You're a Whig. You're not a Republican. You're a Whig. What's that?
Will you stop talking? You've got a big problem. You don't know how to shut up and let other people talk.
She did not say that.
Because I'm awake and I don't feel good.
I'm telling you now, Elizabeth.
How did you ever get hired on this radio station?
I'd have to say to you, ma'am, it would be better for you to die if more people could be employed.
What a terrible thing to say.
No, I didn't mean that.
You don't need that damn job. Why don't you just hug your Mercedes and give that job to somebody that needs it? You do not need it. I own the restaurant, and I keep those people employed. All you're doing is sitting and telling everybody how big of a hotshot you are with your dang Mercedes.
I happen to be weaving through traffic.
To somebody that needs it and go back to your other phone.
Can you drive with one finger? Can you drive with one finger?
People,
no, you can't.
You're making other people break the law. They may not be as good at using a cell phone as you claim you are.
That's a good point. That's a good point, Elizabeth.
And you still doing it with one hand.
I'm doing it with one finger, and that's because I've got power steering.
Well, that's even worse.
That's worse? Not when I can weave through traffic.
You have two hands, so you can do things
the right way. You know what I think is the problem? You're jealous of me because I can drive with one finger.
I'm not jealous at all.
When both your hands are paralyzed.
I'm telling you, you're a jerk because you're not doing the right thing and you're teaching other people to break the law.
I'm not doing the right thing. I'm trying to keep Obama.
I'll tell you another thing. People like you that make our car insurance go up all the time because they keep breaking laws.
I am simply saying to you that if I can't drive with one finger, people die.
How do people die if you can't drive with one finger?
They don't have jobs. They starve to death.
You know what?
Yes, gotcha.
You're supposed to follow the law. You're not asking that the law be changed. No, you think you're
Ted.
An exception to the law, and you're not.
Ted, are you doing this?
I want the law to be changed so that myself and five other guys I know...
Don't go on the radio station and blame it on our president. He's telling you what you should do that's right. And you should not be telling
other people to go ahead and break the law.
And you know what?
Wait a minute. Barack Obama never ordered one steak from Kansas City, as far as I know.
Why don't you go over to work for Fox News or one of those idiotic people? Most of these Republicans are not worth a powder to burn to hell. And you sound
like
one of them.
I don't know why you're even on this station.
Let me tell you something.
Thank God for Fox News because they tell the truth about how Obama is making me go out and drive with one finger.
That's why you don't sound like you're supporting our president.
Yeah, and the president is working.
Go
and you come on here and
wait a minute.
I support the president. I'd support the president if he didn't make me drive while holding a cell phone. I have to do that because he's running the economy.
You know what? You're one of those people that you think you should do just what you want to do, not what you don't want to obey the law.
I have to do what's going to help this country. I got to get from a Tea Party meeting in Burbank all the way down
to... I don't care if you got to go to hell and back. Do what's right. Obey the law.
I'm doing what's right.
You know what?
I'm only asking for the right.
Can't you understand that you are telling other people that may not be that great at using a cell phone, and you are telling them that it's okay because
I'm not saying that. I'm saying we have only five other guys.
The only reason I tuned you in is because I don't feel good. And I'm going to tell you something. Is when I get off this phone, I'm going to shut my radio off, and I will never, ever listen to you again because you are a stupid idiot.
I demand that you listen to me again. I demand that you listen to me because I'm the only one that's...
She hung up.
Yeah. That is so wrong and so unfair because she said that she was going to go over and close the lid on her toilet. I forget what she said.
She said she was going over to turn the radio off. And that she was on the only reason why she was listening to us tonight is that she was awake.
Yeah, she said she was awake.
She didn't say she's a wig. She said she's awake. Awake.
Well, I thought she was confusing it. And for her to say to me some of the things she said.
Like what?
I forget.
877-877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills on his entitlement to drive with one hand on the wheel, one hand on the cell phone, because he's got places to go and people to see. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
I don't think it's fair. I think that that lady...
And I have to make that statement in my commercial because I don't know whether I'm going to be given the opportunity to say it. You stood by while I was repeatedly violated.
No, Ted, that woman was very... she was amped up and angry that the perception she has...
Wait, right there, Keith. That's right. The perception she has. Is it the truth?
Well, the truth is that you want the law changed for a handful of people to drive while holding the cell phone in their hand and the wheel in the other because you are wealthy men of industry and you keep people employed and you've got places to go and people to see.
Yeah. So far, you're doing great.
Because Obama's wrecking the country.
There you go, Phil. And you know what? I know you voted for Obama. Good for you. This guy, as long as his economic policies continue to destroy this country, guys like me and other guys out there listening right now, and they know who they are, we're the guys that do the purchasing. We're the guys that do the hiring. We're the guys that are trying to hold this thing together with spit and glue while Obama's out there having himself, he's out playing Yahtzee with the economy. He's out playing Yahtzee with the most powerful country in the world. He's taking the most powerful military in the world with the largest nuclear arsenal, and he's playing go to the head of the class and Yahtzee.
What are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't. Talking about the guy being so frivolous? You may not agree with him politically, man, but that's a far cry from saying the man is frivolous. Here is Tom in Syracuse, New York. Tom, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. Hey, Ted, how do you seem to feel that you're entitled because you're Ted Bell and you drive a Mercedes McLaren and it's 750 horse, and you're so important. You know what? You ain't that entitled, and your five other buddies, you ain't that important to the workings of this country to go out and jeopardize people on the road. I come from a stock car family. Okay? None of them feel entitled.
Have you ever gone to Grand Prix racing?
They would not think of going out on the road and taking away their concentration, even though they have the ability. They might probably have more ability than you. Your arrogance is just extruding.
I wish that I didn't have to be arrogant. I wish I could just be like you, but I can't.
You come off so arrogant.
I employ people, and I've got to get out and get this business done. Now, you and your stock car friends, if you got some moonshine to haul, it's good for you. And
well, what does that mean?
Well, I'm making a joke.
What does that mean?
Isn't that the way the stock car guys got started?
They
were hauling some of that white lightning over the mountains, right?
Back in the 40s.
All right. There you go.
But your arrogance extrudes from your pores. You are not entitled no more than anybody else in this country. You feel that you're entitled, that you don't have to obey a law.
Yes, sir. I'm not saying I'm better than you. I'm just saying that when I'm on the road, I'd like you to get out of the way.
No, wait a minute, Ted. What? Say that again. Say that again. I want to hear what you said, Ted.
I said I don't think I'm better than this guy. When I'm on the road, I would rather he get out of my way so I can get some business done.
What makes you think this gentleman doesn't have business to do?
He just said he wears a Bluetooth. Right?
I wear a Bluetooth. Because
okay, that means he couldn't possibly.
I'm on the road, too.
He's tooling
along. I don't want to have a knucklehead that's ramming up my butt and going to get me in an accident because you're so important to get somewhere. Well, I'm in a family business. I have places to go, but I do it in a safe manner. I use a Bluetooth. They work great, and I got both my
hands on the wheel. But you're tooling along with your hands at 10 and 2, and I know the kind of guy I see. You're there with your hands at 10 and 2 o'clock, and I'm going, come on, will you step on it? And you never do that.
Well, if you want to go to the racetrack, there's a time and a place to be like that and to speak.
Are you talking about going to the stock car races where they don't change those outhouses out for 40?
The highway is not a racetrack. You're a hazard out there. You're no better than
I'm not a hazard.
Behind the wheel.
Right, fine. You know what I'll do? I'll drive the way you drive, and you guess what happens? The next steak you eat at a steakhouse, it'll taste like it'll taste like a cadaver. Like human flesh.
I eat nice Kobe steak. I don't know about you, but I eat nice Kobe steak. You heard of Kobe steak, huh? You
and about a half a dozen women.
Okay, that's enough of that. 87 said, thank you very much, sir, for your call. Kobe steak is actually a very good Japanese steak. What are you looking at?
Yes, sir.
877, you and a half a dozen. 877-876, Phil. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
I got your Kobe steak.
Visit us online at talkradionetwork.com. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I don't like it as far as I'm putting lands on my kids.
Nice going, Bachman. Are you hypnotized tonight? Has someone hypnotized you?
I definitely can understand the way he feels to be.
Jews are good with money. World famous Phil Henry Show, every night to 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast with a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. Through the looking glass we go. Ho! Going places other talk shows can't go. Republicans vow to roll back the Obama agenda now that they hold the majority in the House. Joining us this hour, Marilyn Donnelly from the Sunshine State Tea Party people. She's going to join us from Florida to talk about what's next on the Tea Party agenda. You know, it wasn't all about the Tea Party, as you well know. There were quite a few Tea Party candidates that were defeated, but I think they got about 80% of their candidates elected last night. So it was far from any kind of a defeat for the Tea Party. It was quite a quite an evening for them. And we're going to talk to Marilyn Donnelly in a moment about that. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And, of course, our online presence is philhenryshow.com. If you head over there, you can take a look at a live streaming video cast of our show right now, as well as the live streaming audio. And you can access thousands of hours of archive material, thousands of hours of individual character bits. We have video archives. We've got on-demand, as well as our podcasts, our mini podcasts, our classic Phil podcast. There's all kinds of stuff, man, going on at the Phil Hendry Show website, because it's a radio show website, because we know about radio. And we've got a show that's worthy of archiving. So check it out, philhendryshow.com. All right, let's gonna get Marilyn Donnelly on the line here from Orlando, Florida, first and foremost, and say hello and a very good evening to her. A very pleasant good morning to you, Marilyn. How are you?
Well, it's been a wonderful 24 hours, a wonderful 48 hours, Phil, in the life of a neophyte politico. But I'm really enjoying it.
What a night for you, as well as the conservatives, Republicans, people across the country who were opposed to the current direction of the country. Quite a sweeping night, huh?
It was indeed. And we are poised for more and I think even better moves in the near future. And we are poised to take the message to Washington that we want smaller government, that we want individuals responsive to the electorate, individuals that are responsive to the American people. And we simply are not going to allow Washington to dictate to us how much of our hard-earned money we put into ridiculous programs that are designed to help no one, that could never possibly help anyone, and that are doomed to failure. And we think this is a great time, Phil, to bring more people into the Tea Party movement by expressing, I think, a expansive and a point of view that is embracing of all American people. And to that end, the Sunshine State Tea Party, in referring to our founding fathers and mothers, which is something that will be a point of departure for us from other Tea Party organizations in this country, but we hope that others will pick up on this.
Well, you're talking about the founding mothers and fathers, which is not I don't think there's anything wrong with that. We've had a lot of women involved in the founding of our country. But are you talking about the Abigail Adamses and...
No, we're really not. Abigail Adams was a wonderful counsel to her husband. Martha Washington was the same. And certainly there were other women involved from the standpoint of domestic... I heard Ellen Burstyn once say that women are assistant people. No, we want the term founding fathers and founding mothers to be used in the sense that women as well as men were involved in the very creation of the legal charter of this country. That is the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and even still to some extent the fighting of the Revolutionary War. Now, were there women at the signing of the Declaration of Independence? No, there were not, but it is not really a point that needs to be argued, because while there were no women actually there, the perception that there were is not too far off. It's not, in other words, the perception that there were women who helped write the Constitution, it is not that far removed from reality when you think that, yes, there could very well have been women helping with the Constitution. It just so happens that in those days, women were not allowed to do that kind of work. We have so many people who signed so many documents that founded this country, we can't recite all of them. So there's no, I think, problem in saying, well, there must have been a woman in there, or maybe there were women. It doesn't really matter. The perception that women helped found this country and helped write the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, as well as lead as soldiers in the Revolutionary War, would help so many American women at a time when we need to to see ourselves far more actively than we do.
Yeah, but are American women going to want to see themselves historically? Are they going to not themselves, but are they going to want to see other American women historically in a false light?
We don't think it's a false light, Phil, and I'll tell you why.
Why not?
Because had women been allowed to be involved in politics in those days, women would have signed the Declaration of Independence. Had women been allowed to be involved in politics in those days, women would have written the Constitution. So what we're saying is that, in essence, in a theoretical sense, women did sign the Declaration of Independence and write the Constitution. If women had been allowed in the military in those days, women would have been members of the military and would have been members of the congressional army. So it's not too far removed to say that women were a part of the actual founding fathers and mothers of this country.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. Marilyn Donnelly from the Sunshine State Tea Party joining us. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about the Tea Party and the Republican Party and the conservative movement in this country and the great victories that you guys achieved last night. The victories that you achieved last night, are they making it possible for you to sort of take this next, and forgive me for using the word, but this next propaganda step?
Well, I don't see it as a propaganda step at all.
Well, it sort of feels to me like now's the time to empower women historically. So you want to say the founding fathers and mothers. Now, people are going to agree with that.
Yes, they will agree with that because there were founding fathers and mothers. But we want to go a step further. We want, when we say the words founding fathers and founding mothers, we want young women to believe that those founding mothers...
Yeah, I know. Signed the Declaration of Independence, wrote the Constitution, and...
Well, don't preempt me, Phil. Let me finish. Yes, wrote the Constitution and signed the Declaration of Independence and fought in the Revolutionary War and were every bit as much a part of the bloodletting and the conquering of the Continental Army during the Revolutionary War as men. Is it so? It doesn't matter, because had it been legal for women to do those things, then they would have. So this is a very subtle point, but we want it very clearly understood. Women must now be perceived as founding mothers, like men are perceived as founding fathers, but not in the sense that they baked apple pie. In the sense that they actually signed the Declaration of Independence.
And when you look at the Declaration of Independence and you see that there are no female names on that document, what do you say to a young woman who said, but we signed the Declaration of Independence?
You can certainly say to her that women were not allowed to sign the Declaration of Independence, and they weren't. Had they been allowed, yes, there would be female names there. Who is hurt by changing the way we teach history? These are small changes. There are no victims here.
So when you take a young lady and you show her the Constitution, and you look at the names of the delegates from each of the states who signed the Constitution, and there are no women, you say to that young woman, there would have been women signing it had they been allowed.
There most certainly would have been women signing it had they been allowed, but they were not allowed. But there are women's signatures that should be on the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution.
Who were they?
I don't know. They were not allowed to sign it.
But were they in Philadelphia?
I don't know.
Ms. Donnelly, were there women involved in the writing of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence?
Mr. Henry, I don't know the answer to that. I do know it was illegal to have women involved in the creation of those documents. And so the women that were involved in creating those documents...
Well, you don't know that women were involved in creating those documents, do you?
And you don't know that they weren't. And that's the point that we are trying to make to our young ladies. I don't know if there were women in the Revolutionary and the Continental Army. I don't know that a woman didn't lead a charge on those British trenches at Yorktown. But it's time now to at least allow women to think it was possible.
And so to that end, we now begin to refer to them as our founding fathers and our founding mothers.
Founding fathers and founding mothers, yes. And this is part of our Tea Party, if you will, the embracing of a larger piece of history by the Tea Party. This was a wonderful win for us last night, Bill. We cannot squander the opportunity. And the founding fathers and founding mothers, and let me underline that, founding fathers and founding mothers of this country are smiling, I think, on all of us today.
All right, 877-876-PHIL.
And if I could make one more point, Bill, when we say founding fathers and founding mothers, we want to emphasize founding mothers. And I want to see the reaction of men when I do that. Founding fathers and founding mothers. What do men do? How do they react? A lot is going to depend upon that. A lot will depend how far we are able to move into the future. How far we are able to take this country will depend a lot on how men react to the phrase founding fathers and founding mothers.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. What do you think about incorporating into our speech now the line founding fathers and founding mothers? And not just from the standpoint of Abigail Adams and Martha Washington, oh, I don't know, cooking food or, you know, keeping a nice home, but from the standpoint of there might very well have been women involved in the signing of the Declaration of Independence and the creation of the Constitution. 877-876-PHIL. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
The founding fathers and founding mothers.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, welcome back here. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. We'll get to some of your phone calls in a moment here. 877-876-PHIL. We've got on the line Marilyn Donnelly. Ms. Donnelly is with the Tea Party of the Sunshine State Tea Party. Excuse me, Marilyn. The victory of the conservative movement in this country at the polls last night has not only emboldened people in the Tea Party, in the Republican Party, to move their agenda forward, but you see this as an opportunity to expand the rights of women and the position of women in history. And that is with the phrase, the founding fathers and founding mothers. You said something before the break that I thought was interesting. You said as the length to which we are able to succeed in this country, how far we're able to go, will depend a lot on how well men accept that phrase.
Yes.
What did you mean by that?
Well, what I meant, Phil, is simply the founding fathers and founding mothers. That is a real statement. That is not a concocted statement. There were founding fathers and there were founding mothers. The founding fathers have been given a great deal of credit for the creation of some of the most epic documents in the history of self-governance in this world, the Declaration of Independence and the United States Constitution. There are no credit given at all to women in either the creation of those two documents or in any kind of service to this country by way of arms. That would be in the military. Our educational system must include in the phrase the founding fathers and the founding mothers, which is the way that we want that phrase to be heard, gives young ladies an opportunity to know that women were involved in the founding of this country.
But you don't want it just to be about women involved in the founding of the country, like Betsy Ross or Abigail Adams.
No, it's too late for that. It's much too late for the tales of Abigail Adams and Martha Washington and Betsy Ross. We've moved past that.
But those are real women. Those were real people. And they lived. Eliza Hamilton is another. She was very popular.
Eliza Hamilton was a woman who had been married to a man that cheated on her. We want strong women recognized as our founding mothers. And those would be the women that founded the country and signed the Declaration of Independence. Now, I know that no women's names appear on the Declaration of Independence. That does not mean there weren't women involved in writing it. Now, I know there are no...
Well, we're making, you're making an assumption there. I don't know. Being a fan of history and wanting history to be historically accurate...
Well, do you think history is accurate when it writes that there were only men signing the Declaration of Independence?
I think insofar as we know what the Declaration of Independence, what went into to creating the Declaration of Independence, I think that history is accurate.
And shouldn't history be fair to women?
History needs to be accurate. I've never said that history needs to be fair. History needs to be accurate. If it happened a certain way...
And what of the name Governor Morris on the Declaration of Independence, which we read as Guinevere Morris? Do you know who Guinevere Morris was?
Governor Morris.
It reads as Guinevere Morris.
So you're now telling me there was actually a woman who signed the Declaration of Independence?
I don't know. I can tell you there are interpretations as to the signing of that document, as well as the Constitution. And to say the Founding Fathers and the Founding Mothers is to say that the Founding Mothers did more than bake cookies and make beds and bring their husbands lunch.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Do you believe Founding Fathers and Founding Mothers? You want this phrase used in schools.
Well, we want the phrase used in schools, but we want the phrase recited in such a way so as to emphasize the contribution of women, so the Founding Fathers and Founding Mothers. And you give emphasis Founding Fathers and Founding Mothers. You give emphasis.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. Here is Drew in Boston. Go ahead, Drew. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
All right, I was just saying, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, that we should make it seem like women had a part in the, you know, founding of our country, but you really need to have at least one example that you could pull off the top of your head. You know, any given person could give at least three founding fathers, you know, right off the top of their head. So if you want to do the fair...
Those are the only ones that they recorded, though.
Well, I mean,
those are the only people that they recorded.
It's just, I'm just saying, you know, you know, if you want it to be all fair, you know, then you got to be fair. You have to have an example, at least one, and saying, oh, well, they don't keep records. That's, you know, that's a little ridiculous.
Exactly. I mean, but they didn't. They
you know,
didn't
you find
records,
you find
but...
love letters and stuff from the people back then. You know, you got to find at least one document that had a woman that was saying that the, you know, what was going on is good.
Well, we feel that young women knowing that there were women there. And so to well, say that...
But we don't know that there were women there.
Do you have a document... See, you gentlemen don't understand. The history's written by men. They're not going to record the presence of women.
Are you saying that there were women there, but it was not recorded?
I'm saying it does not hurt us to tell our young women, yes, there were women there.
Even though we can't be sure...
What difference does it make? Who cares?
Well, you want to take credit. You want women to take credit for something that you can't prove had anything to do with.
Who's to say that that name is not Governor Morris, that that name is indeed Guinevere Morris? We don't know.
That name is Governor Morris because the name is recorded elsewhere as Governor Morris.
The name is recorded elsewhere as Governor Morris, Phil, because that is what was on the Declaration of Independence. But the name could very well be that of a Guinevere Morris.
Well, then you're saying that there was a woman there and that she was dressed as a guy. I don't know. Drew, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL as we talk here with Marilyn Donnelly from the Sunshine State Tea Party. Were there women there?
It doesn't matter if they were really there or not. We want people to think they were.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, welcome back. I've got Marilyn Donnelly on the line from the Sunshine State Tea Party. Big wins last night for Tea Party conservatives, Republicans across the country. I stated at the outset, Ms. Donnelly, that the Tea Party didn't do bad last night?
Oh, no, we did very well, very, very well, Phil. I think somewhere in the neighborhood of 80% of our candidates were elected, so the idea that the Tea Party was not the story last night is very much not a factor.
But we're talking about you taking this win by the Tea Party and now using it to expand the influence of American history into all walks of life. You want it said now, founding fathers and founding mothers. Even though we don't have evidence of women signing the Declaration of Independence or of the Constitution.
I'll give you an example. You know, if you say you believe in God and I say, do you have proof of God? You would say to me, who cares? So if I say to you that we had founding mothers who were a part of the writing of the Declaration of Independence and you say to me, do you have proof? I say to you, who cares? Because it is more important for young women to know that women were there every step of the way, signing it, putting into play the Constitution, the War of 1812, as my father used to say, the whole Megillah. Do you know, Phil, whether the name Hugh Williamson is that of a Declaration of Independence signer or a linebacker for the Philadelphia Eagles? Hugh Williamson, who?
Well, I'm going to have to assume a signer of the Declaration.
Yes, he was the signer of the Declaration of Independence, but you could easily have thought of him as a black linebacker in the National Football League. Why couldn't he have been a black man signing the Declaration of Independence? Charles Pinckney, who was a very famous foppish man from South Carolina, was he gay? Abraham Baldwin, was he a transsexual? Is LGBT represented? All of these questions can now become a part of our national historical dialogue.
Not to the extent that you've got to invent things. 877-876-PHIL.
I just got done explaining and going through a great many examples and a lot of information, and for you to throw it all away with a comment before you go to a phone call, it irritates me. It really, I have to be honest, it really does.
I apologize, but that's my job. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Maurice on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Maurice. You're on with Marilyn Donnelly.
Yeah, Marilyn, I wanted to make a point that it seems like you're trying to rewrite history, and I think it's absurd because I don't think it's necessary to do that just so that young women can feel empowered. I'm an African-American. I'm a Republican. And to me, that's almost like saying, well, let's just say that there was white slaves so that black people will feel somehow empowered that, you know, they had some part in something that they didn't. I don't think it's necessary. I think
Why can't we do that? Why not do that? How do we know there weren't white slaves and black plantation owners?
Oh, come on. It's just pointless.
That's all it is. It's not even necessary. I mean, look at the achievements that lots of women have achieved without even having to do that. And, you know, people, like young girls coming up these days, they don't even put a lot of thought into things like that. Only thing they look at is, what can I achieve from this point on? So I don't think there's even any point of rewriting history.
I agree with you there, that young women don't think about history. And as a result, young women find themselves caught in a world of contemporary issue and contemporary struggle that has no historical context. And I would want young women to understand that founding fathers and founding mothers, and you notice the way I say that? Can I ask you, Maurice, does that bother you?
Does what bother him?
It doesn't bother me. The only thing that bothers me is it's not accurate. And when you look at history, you want history to be accurate. I think it's better
to have
it that way and just to look at, okay, look how far we've come. Look what we've achieved now. Look what we can achieve in the future. I think it's much better to have it that way than to try and,
Would you call Crispus Attucks, who was an African-American, would you call Crispus Attucks, one of the men killed in the Boston Massacre by the British, a founding father of this country, a man who bravely stood up to the British and was shot down that night?
A founding father?
Yeah.
Well,
A revolutionary martyr, a revolutionary, maybe, but not a founding father.
But I'm not asking you, Mr. Henry, because you're not black.
Oh, excuse me.
Well, no, I don't think that's the reason. It's just that that's not, he wasn't part of writing any part of the declaration or signing it or anything else. And that's just the reality of it. It doesn't mean that black All people right. don't have a place in history and black people can't, haven't achieved anything, but that's
but
just, it's just an internet.
But what if we found out he had signed the Declaration of Independence and then was gunned down?
Who?
Well,
Chris Pasadena.
Considering
that didn't happen.
Well, considering that his signature's not on it, how people
yeah.
can discover that?
How can you say that? What do you mean he signed it and then got gunned down?
Because it was in 1775 that Chris Pasadena was gunned down. And
no, it wasn't. It was in 1770. You got to get your history right before you can, well, rewrite history.
And that's very cute. My point is simply this. Again, founding fathers and founding mothers.
All right, I got it. All right, thank you very much, Maurice, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Chris Pasadena is not a founding father. Chris Pasadena is a revolutionary. He was an American revolutionary.
Let me tell you who Chris Pasadena really was. Chris Pasadena was a sailor. He was a seaman. He had just gotten off a merchant ship. He was drinking in a Boston tavern with his mates. He heard this ruckus going on down the street. He came out of the tavern and down the street and confronted the British. He was, yes, a revolutionary, and yes, he was a martyr, but more to the point, he was just a drunk that was staggering down the street. And
let's not start calling people names. You got women who were signing the Declaration of Independence, and Chris Pasadena is a drunk, and you're just all of a sudden, you know...
Well, why can't I start calling some of these people out if we do not allow women to take their rightful place at the Constitutional Convention?
At the Constitutional Convention.
Yes.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Tim. Tim, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, I had a real quick statement for the lady on the
yes,
telephone.
Sir.
She does
yes, sir.
Understand that history is, in fact, based on fact, instead of just calling it a fiction.
Yes, it is. I understand that. Hello?
Jimmy there? Oh, I guess he hung up. And probably the reason why he hung up is because he heard you belch. Here is it Rafiq? Rafiq, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, I am. This is Rafiq.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
I can understand the premise that she's attempting to use, but being a black man in America, I do have a history from my parents that have played a very important role in building this country. Now, what I'm saying is very brief. If that premise exists that she's trying to put forward, then everyone should be inclusive, not exclusive.
I agree. I totally agree, and that's why I think that Hugh Williamson could very well have been black.
Wait a minute. Wait a second. Hugh Williamson was a real guy. He was white.
Well, we don't know that for sure. And the reason why I say that, if you have the name Hugh Williamson, it sounds like a black man's name, doesn't it? Rafiq?
Yes.
Do you think the name Hugh Williamson sounds black?
What I'm saying is can be proven historically.
All right.
We have Christopher Adams, who fought in the Revolutionary War. We have my friends who helped build Washington, D.C., we played a very important role in this
right.
history. So if we're going to say the founding mothers and fathers are founding fathers and mothers, we should also say the founding fathers, mothers, and ex-slaves.
Well, I'll go you one better. We should say the founding white and black fathers and white and black mothers.
What's wrong with that?
I mean...
There's nothing wrong with that. I like that.
All right, fine. But I want to tell you this. If we're going to say founding white fathers, founding black fathers, founding white mothers, that's okay, but you can't say that the founding white mothers were involved in something they weren't involved in. If you're trying to tell me they signed the Declaration of Independence or that they were at the Constitutional Convention...
Well, what about black people?
I think this gentleman put it very well. Black people built Washington, D.C. Many of them served in the Revolutionary Army. They went on to serve in the Civil War. There's a great many founding black fathers and black mothers, and white fathers and white mothers, but they weren't at the Declaration of Independence, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, Phil, you insult every black man when you say that.
How am I insulting black people when I say that?
Rafiq, don't speak, tell him.
I don't think
go ahead, tell him.
Hello?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
I don't think as much as in Sorden. If we really dig down deep into it, we'll find that Abraham Lincoln had black children. So shouldn't those children be represented through their father as being part of that finding?
I think so. I think Abraham Lincoln himself might have been black. And
well, come on, will you? How do you know that?
Oh, so it isn't possible, is it?
Well, I know that he was friends with Frederick Douglass. That's about all I know. Abraham Lincoln, you know...
What about Beethoven? See, this is what we're saying. And we're, yeah, Beethoven was black. So.
All right, thank you very much, Rafiq, for your call. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. I'm just going to take a break here because now I've got Beethoven's black, Abraham Lincoln, and let's see, what else? Well, 877, oh yeah, Hugh Williamson was a linebacker for the Eagles. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
The founding fathers and the founding mothers.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL as we talk here with Marilyn Donnelly from the Sunshine State Tea Party. Great victory for the Tea Party last night. But today, you would like to take that a step further, Ms. Donnelly, and you would like to almost codify founding fathers and founding mothers. You want founding mothers mentioned in every phrase with founding fathers, and you don't want that to mean that they were just Abigail and Martha making ice cream, that they were women signing the Declaration of Independence. Marilyn, you there?
Yes, Phil.
That's correct, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is, in essence, correct. You see, the founding fathers, and I have with me from our theatrical arm, Chuck Worsley. Chuck is a actor. And he does the recreations, he does a great many one-man shows featuring our founding fathers. And again, as I said to the last caller, it is how men react to the phrase founding fathers and founding mothers.
Okay, we lost, get her back here, Marilyn Donnelly is our guest. Marilyn, are you there?
And that is why we have Chuck here.
Marilyn, we didn't hear that last part. Let me take a phone call and then I'll get to... what you have Chuck standing by to demonstrate to us. 877-876-PHIL. Mike, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Marilyn Donnelly.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, sir.
I just have a comment about your guest and her opinion. I'd like to see some proof of what she is trying to say happened with the Declaration of Independence. The founding fathers were the people who signed the Declaration of Independence and actually founded the Constitution of this country. There were a lot of females and blacks who contributed to what this country is and what it started out to be. But if you're talking about founding fathers, then I would like to see some proof.
And founding mothers. And founding mothers as well. And the point that I'm making is, you want proof. Well, right now, what we're looking at is the very, very likely a possibility there were LGBT that were represented there.
LGBT at the signing?
Yes.
Lesbian, gay, bisexual. Who was a lesbian or a bisexual?
Well, I mentioned Charles Pinckney.
That's ridiculous.
But you don't know that. You don't know that. You're saying that because you want to believe that every... In other words, Margaret, what you're saying here...
I thought I was talking to a caller.
I apologize. Mike, go ahead.
It's ridiculous. You just got through saying that Abraham Lincoln was black. People contributed to this country, and they've made some great contributions and sacrifices to this country. But to try to push your personal agenda, whatever that may be, is ridiculous. You're trying to rewrite history... because it's something that you want to believe and apparently want to make others believe, and it just doesn't work that way. Facts are facts.
I'm trying to the founding fathers and founding mothers. If Abraham Lincoln was black, it's time to face the music.
We don't know that he's black. There's no evidence that he's black. None whatsoever. No evidence, and we have to go by way of evidence. We can't just say, I assume, based on... There's a lot of circumstantial things in this world. History has circumstantial evidence. But until such time as we can really connect the dots in a sane way, there's no indication whatsoever in Abraham Lincoln's lineage that he was black.
You know, Phil, you're doing a lot of talking, and you're not letting the callers talk. If you let the callers talk, I'm able to convince them of what I'm saying.
And I don't think this man is convinced at all. Mike, thank you very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Cheryl on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead. You're on with Marilyn Donnelly.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. First of all, God help us if this woman actually is part of the Tea Party, because to me it sounds like you have a very liberal agenda. And
No, I do not. I want women involved in the very building blocks of this country. No way. No way, Jose.
I understand that, but you can't reinvent history. You have no proof. Just because that you would like to think that it was that way, you can't actually say that it was. Because history is based on historical facts. That's the definition of history, is it not?
What do you think of the idea that, don't you, yes, that is what it is based on. How likely is it that a woman wasn't somewhere in the vicinity as they were signing that declaration?
It doesn't matter if the likelihood of them being in the vicinity. It's the fact of whether they were actually documented in being
right
there. That is history.
What do you mean?
History.
What do you mean at the vicinity?
As they were signing the Declaration of Independence, was there a woman somewhere within a 2 or 3 city block radius? Let me just ask that. Do you think that's possible?
Well, of course. But that doesn't mean just because, if someone is in a 2 or 3 block radius of any historical event happening, does that mean that they are actually a part of that historical event taking place?
Does not. No, it does not, but it does give us the opportunity to contemplate that if there were women in the vicinity, why weren't they there signing the document? You see?
Oh, come on, because there's a woman walking down the street outside of the very hall where the men were signing the Declaration of Independence. You're now saying, aha, maybe she was in there signing it.
I don't think I went, aha, like I'm in a Felix the Cat cartoon. I'm saying the following thing. To Cheryl, do you believe, Cheryl, it would matter if we said founding fathers and founding mothers? Do you think men would be able to get with that?
Well, I don't really see a problem with saying founding fathers and founding mothers. I don't really think that anybody has an objection to that.
Okay.
The issue is trying to reinvent history or change, because you're very adamant about wanting to change what is taught in schools and in history.
Is there the possibility that when they were signing the declaration, there was a gay man there in the building?
Well, so what if he was in the building? Oh, I get it. Was he serving the drinks? Maybe he was waiting the tables where they were going off and having their pints of ale or whatever the hell those guys did.
Maybe, and maybe he was there signing it. That's my point, Cheryl, and we'll never, ever make peace with history until we consider the possibility that, yes, there was a transsexual signing the Declaration of Independence.
Okay, first of all, it's not that you're wanting to just explore, from my understanding, it's not that you're just wanting to explore the possibility. You're actually wanting to document and say that it is fact, when in fact, we have no fact that's the way that it was. So you can't rewrite history just because you want to explore the possibility that it could be that way.
But you yourself said it was very possible that somewhere in the area, as they were signing that, there was a queer that...
Well, can we not use that word, please?
I'm sorry. What do you think of us saying, founding fathers and... You know what? I got to get Chuck in here, Phil, because I promised him to do this. Chuck Worsley is an actor when I kill you. Founding fathers and founding mothers. What do you think, Phil?
Great.
Well, you're lying to me.
Phil Hendry.